live with our old heart of stone, this old broken heart, this self-focused heart, that you made a way for us to have our hearts formed into your image again, to be transformed through the word, conformed into your perfect will. Thank you, God. We pray that you do that supernatural, eternal work through your word, Lord, not through the words of any man, but Lord, through your spirit speaking. Would you speak today? Speak today, Lord. Help us, help me to hear your voice. And take our hearts, oh God. Give us new ones if we need a new one today, Lord. We have not yet entered into that faith commitment, that faith to you, Lord, where we exchange our old one for a new one. Lord, may today be that day. Lord, if we have gone and fallen back on our old ways, Lord, and we've lost sight of what it is to function with the new heart, we pray that you would refresh us and remind us, Holy Spirit, what it means to live with the heart that Jesus, you gave us. Thank you, God. In your Son Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's all kinds of different things people were asking about with Pastor, can you preach a sermon on fill in the blank? So there'll be lots of different things we'll talk about. Challenging for me because it tends to be things that I wouldn't be naturally inclined to preach about. So it really is a good thing. It kind of forces me into some areas that I wouldn't maybe normally think about. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 8. If you don't have one with you, it's under the seat in front of you. There's probably one there. Hebrews, that is in the New Testament, almost to the end of the Bible. If you hit Revelations, you've gone too far, so back up a couple of books. After the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and Corinthians, and the short epistles, and then you'll find Hebrews. So, you know, this Hey Pastor, I Have a Question series made me think of, and this particular one, you'll see that we pulled in today in a semi-new car. Our Malibu was, our 2005 218,000-mile Malibu was finally started to say, it was still running pretty good, but it had its issues. And it was time. So that old car with all those miles on it that clunked, and I had to find out how many quarts per mile I could get out of it as far as the oil was concerned. Engine lights on. I asked the teens and young adults, our car looks like a Christmas tree. Lights all over the dashboard. And gas tank doesn't work anymore. So it was time, and you know what? New, previously enjoyed car. It's got 29,000 miles on it. It's like a brand new car to us. Drives smooth. I bet you I can go 5,000 miles between oil changes and not have to check the oil. Wow, I'm excited about that, especially with winter coming up. And you know what lights are on inside the car? The ones that are supposed to be on. It's really cool. Everything works like it's supposed to do, like when it was new. We get like that. Not like the new car. We get like my old car. Kind of worn out and broken. And that's kind of where we are. Our hearts become like a 2005 Malibu. Maybe you've had one of those. And it's just not what God intended it to be. And God promised us a new heart. What's that look like? What does it look like? Can we really get a new heart? Well, let's find out as we read our verses together. Let's stand together. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this new heart that you have given us and offered us and made available to us. I pray, Father, that we would have such a new understanding of what it means to have a new heart. Lord, may it change our lives. Whether it's because we exchange our old broken heart for a new one, or we begin living like the new heart that we have really is ours. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us today. We ask it by faith in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Be seated. It says, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. Oh, wait, back up. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. So before the temple sacrifices we talked about, before the Passover lamb, before the covering in Eden, God knew. Jesus, his son, knew and planned for the atoning blood of Christ to give us that new heart. They knew that mankind's heart would be hardened. It would be hardened against God and for ourselves, and that at some point that hard heart of hardened stone would need to be not repaired, not fixed. God doesn't fix us. He replaces the old stone heart. He doesn't heal us from our deadness. Without Christ, we are dead. He gives us a dead person new life. And so we have to recognize where we are without Christ. We have a stone cold dead heart that needs to be, Scripture says, what? I will remove that. I'm not just going to fix it. I will remove that dead old heart and replace it with the new one. Not only a new heart, but a new spirit. Completely different than the old. The new would be Holy Spirit indwelt and empowered, different from the old heart of stone that was self-powered, right? And he says, I will put into my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Our old heart was about following rules. That's really what the Old Testament, how we functioned in the Old Testament was. It was, as long as I'm following rules and obeying, this is my way of being made right before God and through the works of the temple sacrifices. But this verse is saying, you know what? The new heart will be a different heart. The new heart will be not one where they have to go and teach and tell everybody, this is how it is, this is what you're supposed to do. It's going to be a heart where they will know me. They will know me. You're not going to have to go around, let me teach you, know the Lord, know the Lord. Here's what you should do to know the Lord. He's saying, they're not going to have to do that anymore. When they have a heart of flesh, the heart that I give them, they shall all know me, it says. From the least of them to the greatest. We will just know the Lord. And this is not a head knowledge. And this is the difference. The heart of stone works off of the head knowledge of the works, and this is what I'm supposed to do. It's not a relational thing. When God gives us a new heart, it's a heart that is like His. It brings us back to how we were created in His image, in relationship with God. Do you remember that? The Garden of Eden, what did God do initially? He created a place for them, and there He gave them the Garden of Eden, and He came and He walked with them in the cool of the evening. Why did He create temple sacrifices? So that a holy God could come and dwell with an unholy people. God's desire has always been to dwell with His people. And these verses talk about just powerful stuff. Two phrases to note here that talk about the new heart. And these are really important. They shall know me. Like I said, this is a relational knowledge. It's a heart connection with God, not an I'm supposed to do this, so I do this. I'm not supposed to do that, so I don't do that. God is talking about they shall know me. You know who that's for? Yeah, remember what John 3:16 says? Who is it for? Whosoever would believe, right? It's there for whosoever, that they would know God, they would know Him. That's what our forming group that I'm having in the evenings, not too late if you want to join us at 6 tonight. It's about learning how to know God, not just know about Him. Learning how to allow God to live in and through me rather than just knowing about God on Sundays. It's about a relationship, and we're learning how to listen and hear from the Word, from God, from His Spirit, and from His Word. That's what God's intent was, that they would experientially know me. The new heart, did you ever know somebody that just loves God? And you know it. You just know it. Just because the time you spend with them, it's like, this person is real. They love God. They love people. They love me. It's not something that person has to say, just so you know, I love God, and I love you as well, and I'm serving God, and they don't have to. When somebody loves and knows God, it's something that is just, it doesn't have to be explained. That's what this verse says. You don't have to teach their neighbor, know the Lord. When we're living in that close relationship, it's there. People see it. People see it when it's real. It's experienced through a real relationship. And it's that intimate knowing, that trusting that just comes out without having to say words. The other phrase that's important in this is, I will remember their sins no more. Is that good news? I've had people kind of struggle with this sometimes. They're like, they have the mindset that that means that God has no knowledge of our previous sins. Like he doesn't remember them. What did you do? You know, God in heaven going, I don't know what you did before you came to faith in me. I have no memory of that. That's not what it means. It says, have you ever had somebody that likes to bring things up again and again and again? You think they've let it go, but then they bring it up again, right? So you know they didn't really let it go. They continue to bring it up. That's the kind of remembering that God has promised. I'm not going to remember this against you again. It won't be brought up and like up. Hey, oh, you screwed up. Just like the last time you did that. You know, God has promised, I will remember their sins no more. It's those sins have been cleansed. They've been washed by the blood of Christ. They're forgiven. And I don't have to worry that God is going to keep bringing them up. I am forgiven. And that's what Christ did. He washes us clean. And that's awesome. That's what one of the things it means to have a new heart. When I'm in this relationship with God, that I know him, I know the God who has truly forgiven me and has said, you're my son. That's been washed by the blood. It's cleansed. I won't remember it against you. Now we walk together, right? That's the relationship. That's the knowing that we have, and that other people see, that joy that comes, that I'm walking with my God and he's forgiven me and I love him so much because he walks with me. And you know what? If I sin like I did that time that he forgave me and I screw up and do it again, you know what? He'll forgive me again. And he's not going to be like, nope, that's it. Third time, you're done. That's not my God. That's not my God. He walks along with me and he says, let's put it under the blood again. That valuable, precious blood that my son shed for you. It's enough to forgive and wash this sin away too. All right? Forgiven, Lord. Forgiven, son. Let's go. That's the kind of relationship that we have, that knowing. That's the new heart that we have. But as awesome as that is, that God doesn't remember our sins against us, you know what the new heart also doesn't do? Our heart? We don't bring them up again either. We don't go back and pick them up and start living them all over again. Jesus said they're forgiven. And we say, yeah, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going back there again. I don't want to go back there again. I was reading yesterday morning in Romans as I'm reading through, and I'm like, man, this was so powerful. I'm going to read it here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Why would I want to go back to what Jesus died to cleanse me from? My new heart says, I'm changed. That's that whole amazing grace thing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm not going back to being lost and blind anymore. Why would I do that? I have different loves now with my new heart. I have different things that I hate. I have different hopes now. The things that mean or matter to me are different because I've got a new heart. My priorities, they're different than they used to be. When we get, you know, the question was, What does it mean to get a new heart? It means you're different. It means things that are, that what's important to you changes. You stop being like you were before. And it's wonderful. And it's awesome. Our world today treats sin so very lightly, doesn't it? It don't judge. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And our tolerance, our niceness about sin, it's really just become our way of avoiding something that's uncomfortable for us. And we forget that for God, it's something that he's willing to deal with uncomfortable stuff about, because he knows the consequences of sin, right? The wages of sin are what? Death. Spiritual death. Spiritual separation from God for all eternity. That matters to God. It matters so much that he allowed and sent his son to die and bleed, be beaten and scourged for us, taking our punishment on himself. Sin matters to God. It has terrible consequences that God said, I need to do something about these consequences of death because I love my people, my creation. And unfortunately, when we become more and more tolerant and accepting of other people's sin, you know what what ends up happening to me? I follow that same road. And I start thinking that it's not that big a deal, right? It's not that big a deal. Paul said, by no means can we continue to sin so that grace may abound. Well, if I don't, you know, there's something good that we can rationalize stuff all day long, can't we? We're good at rationalizing either the things that we do or the things that we don't do or the things that other people do. It's like, well, read Scripture. Don't take my opinion. Sin is serious business, if for no other reason that it is what sent Jesus down to this earth to suffer and die in our place. What does it mean to get a new heart? Should we keep on sinning so that God's kindness can increase? By no means. Paul went on to say, do you not know that your bodies, this is a different verse, I decided to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? God Almighty, God the Spirit, dwells here. That's pretty scary to think about, right? But turn it around. He also dwells in you if you're a follower of Christ. That's incredible. It says, Spirit of God dwells in you. You are his temple. You were bought with a price, a precious price. Therefore, he says, honor God with your body. Honor him with your body. We can forget the terrible price that Jesus paid when we get flippant about sin, or we rationalize it, or we question, is it really that bad or that big of a deal? We forget about the terrible price that Jesus paid. His shaming, his arrest, his scourging, his beating, the crown of thorns, the mocking that he endured. This would be hard for you and I to endure, but this was God who created everyone who was beating and scourging and mocking him. He created them and allowed them to humiliate the Creator. Man, we forget about the terrible price. And beyond that, Jesus, the Lamb without blemish or spot, the sinless one, he had no guilt. He was guilty of no sin. And yet he took the guilt for the sins of the world. Think of the worst person you can think of. Jesus died for their sins. For their sins. When we blow off how important it is how we treat sin, we really blow off God and the entire biblical narrative. The whole narrative. Old Testament, the sacrifices, the Garden of Eden we talked about. God was dealing with mankind and our sin. That, you know, sin is wrong. It has to be dealt with. And we forget that we were dead. We once were dead, slaves to sin. And Jesus rescued us from that wretched, hopeless place. When I had no hope, Jesus came and gave me hope. When I thought I couldn't be at all beloved by God, he reminded me, I know how awful you are, and I still love you. And I was awakened to the love of God more than anything I had ever known. My new heart. What does it mean to get a new heart? My new heart comes with new things, right? Remember the verse, out of the overflow of what? The heart, the mouth speaks, right? What's coming out of this thing is just what's happening down in my heart. It's just kind of overflowing. Doesn't always overflow, but when it overflows, that's one of the places. But in reality, the mouth, the overflow of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You could replace the mouth with any part of the body, couldn't you? God gives me a new heart. He gives me a new mouth. Isn't that good? A new mouth. I start to care about what I say. I care about my words. I want them to honor Christ, the things that I say. And guess what? In today's day and age, you know it's an extension of our mouths? Our thumbs, or our fingers if we type, right? Our fingers are just an extension of our mouth nowadays, right? Guess what you do with every post on Twitter? You're tagging Jesus. You're hashtagging Jesus. He is right there with you. Everything we do and everything we say, his name is attached to. If we have confessed Christ as our Savior, and if we've let people know that I'm a follower of Jesus, whatever I say, it's the overflow of the heart. Whatever I type, it's the overflow of the heart. People say, oh, that's Frank and Jesus. Well, that's interesting. Or, oh, that's Frank and Jesus. Yeah, I would expect that. That was a Jesus-like thing to say, right? That's, Jesus gets hashtagged to everything we say, right? How about we get new ears and eyes. Out of the overflow of the ears and eyes, the hearts, out of the overflow of the heart, we look at things, we listen to things, movies, music, TV, social media, internet, whatever. Does that matter? It does to the new heart. It sure does to the new heart. When I look at, you know, some of the things that I remember as a new believer when I started looking at some of the things that I used to listen to before I was a Christian? And I started thinking, oh, wow. It's not just the song that I'm listening to or the movie that I'm watching or whatever and what they're doing. or singing about or whatever. But there was, when this person recorded that song, there was a sound engineer that was recording it and part of that. There were other musicians playing along with that person. You know what? There's an accountant somewhere that is keeping the books for that record company. You know, there's people that sell the stuff in the stores. Not anymore, but, you know, there's people that listen to this. There's a whole world of people that are influenced by what I am watching or listening to. It's not just this one little two-dimensional thing that I see. There's a whole world of impact. And my participation is not only impacting me, but also supporting what is good or what is sin. We have today become desensitized to so many things. Our children have been so hypersexualized, we don't even see it. How everything, whether it's advertisements for cars or whatever, we use sex to sell it, and we don't even think about it used to be commercials you didn't have to worry about. I remember there was a time when Terry and I didn't have cable. We don't have it now, but we didn't have cable. We were just watching regular out-of-the-air antenna TV, and the commercials started to get like, I don't want my kids seeing this. I remember that. All of a sudden, commercials started turning trashy. I'm like, I can't even control what my kids are seeing because the commercials are trashy. So we got cable so we wouldn't have to deal with the commercials. You know? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And Paul said, by no means. By no means. I'm just not going to be a part of the things that because not only do I hashtag Jesus in the things I post, but when I'm sitting watching and listening and perusing the internet, guess who's right by my side? We are never alone. We're never alone. I want to honor God with your body. Out of the overflow, honor God with your heart, because it matters. It matters. And we get new priorities. What's it like to have a new heart? You start caring about different things. I start caring about how I want to please and love God and other people. I start caring about how I use my time. Whether I'm going to serve others or at work or at school. And maybe where you are, to have a servant's heart for others might be looked on as kind of lame and goofy and wimpy. God calls us to have new priorities for our time and our energy. Our goals, our dreams matter differently now. What I do with my life, my career, I want to know that it's going to make a difference through eternity. Right? That doesn't mean that every single thing I do, I'm praying, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. So, Lord, what's going to impact the kingdom? You know, Lord, how am I living my life when I'm interacting with people? That's the kind of thing it's talking about. How can I set my priorities, my dreams, my goals in life so that what I'm doing honors you while I'm also seeking the things that I want in my life? You know? My finances, God, how can I honor you? Out of the overflow of the heart, the hands give. God, I want what you've given me to be, it's yours anyway, it's not mine. I want to use it to honor you, to bless your kingdom. I want to be sowing for the kingdom. My will last, Lord. Help me to have a heart for souls. So that's where our, we talked about our three-word faith story. How about your harvest field list of people that are in your world that we wrote names down, those people that are connected to you? It's like, I care about their souls. I care about whether or not they come to know Christ, because there is a Christ, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and God had sent his Son so that everyone would be with him for eternity in heaven. So, my new heart. What does it mean to have a new heart? It means I'm different, right? I'm going to have God's new heart and new spirit in me. I'm going to have, I'm going to avoid sin. I don't want sin in my life. By no means am I going to allow sin in my life. It's just, I want to honor God with my life. I was purchased with a great price of Jesus, the Son. I want to honor him with out of the overflow of my heart. Let's just take a minute. We're just going to close in prayer today. Lord, I'm praying for someone here today. And there may be someone here that has never had that exchange, that old heart gone, new heart alive with Christ, has never been prayed and asked for and received. That kind of priority change in your life, maybe you don't see that as anything you ever thought of. But now you know. God wants to give you a new heart with his priorities so that he can bless and fill your life with the good things that he has in mind and protect you from the things that sin would do in your life. And today, you want a new heart. Father, I'm praying for that one that if today is that day, that they would make that decision of faith to say, God, today I want to trust you. Today I want to put my trust in you for my sins to be forgiven, and I want to begin to follow you and have your heart. Thank you, God. Thank you for that offer. Thank you for that decision today. Thank you, Father God. And I pray also for the ones who have a new heart, but have fallen back into living like they used to with the old stone heart, that old hard heart. Lord God, that you would begin to fill them with a hope and a just new expectations again for following after you and being filled with your life and your joy and your blessing, Lord God, that comes through walking and knowing you. Thank you, Father God. If there's any here today that have made a decision that today is your day, I want you just to trust in him for the first time. Make a declaration today and just raise your hand and say, today I've trusted in Christ for the first time, and I'm receiving his new heart today. Just raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, that's me. I'm telling you, that's me. His desire is to walk with you, just like he did with me 33 years ago. And if today you've decided that I've been walking in the old heart, and I want to start walking in the newness of this new heart, just make that your declaration. Raise your hand to God and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to start walking with you. I'm not walking the way I used to anymore. Just raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. God, thank you. God has a new pathway for you, and it's going to be awesome. Father, thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us. Thank you for the new heart. Thank you for what it protects us from. Thank you for the life that it gives us. Bless us as we go. And help us, Father God, to be able to be quick to tell everybody about the new heart that they can have that crosses our path. All this we thank you for. In your Son Jesus we pray, and amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. And look for what God puts across your path. He has someone for you to minister to in this coming week. God bless you. Amen.